at the beginning of the 40 days leading up to Easter, a time when people often give something up for God. So Tuesday, just the day right before that, Pancake Tuesday, or Shrove Tuesday, as it's sometimes called, the, sort of the last hurrah, you know, before the period of Lent and time of self-discipline, you know. So imagine pancakes with syrup and strawberries and whipped cream, you know, and all of that good stuff. And we only get wieners out of camp. In French, it's called Mardi Gras, or Fat Tuesday, right? A day of wild partying. And in some places, most notably New Orleans in Louisiana and Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, Mardi Gras isn't just a day. It starts right after Epiphany, so right in the middle of January, and it lasts a couple of months. And so they have a couple of months of wild partying, extravagance, of opulence gone bad, even of decadence. And when you think of the images that you have seen of Mardi Gras. And so the seven deadly sins, as they're classically called, lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, pride, they're all in full display when you go to Mardi Gras. This winter for youth group, we did a winter carnival, kind of in the same manner as Quebec City's winter carnival, you know, with Bonhomme Carnival, that walking snowman and all that kind of stuff. Well, that Quebec's winter carnival is Mardi Gras in Canada. That's what we get for Mardi Gras. We didn't do that at youth group, but we did some snow games. But anyways, that was when I first read the book of Colossians, because we started in February looking at this book of Colossians and have been on and off again looking at it over the last little while. But it was right at the time of Mardi Gras that I was reading that. Turn to Colossians with me, please. In Colossians 3, we're looking at part of Colossians 3 today, we find some verses that are very kind of Mardi Gras sort of verses. Colossians 3, and we'll just look at verse 5. It says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." And then skip over to verse 8. "But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." So though Mardi Gras is a festival with Lenten Christian roots, this is largely what it became, the kind of things that we read here in these verses. It was that's what it is. And Paul is saying here, put that to death. Rid yourselves of it. Get rid of this stuff. Don't have this as a part of your life. And, you know, we really don't need to go into that in great depth. All of this that is talked about here, this lust and greed and rage and slander and on, we know that that is not the way to live, right? But what I want to look at today is not how we're not to live, but how we are to live. I'm coming from Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians 2, which we had just read the last few weeks, it talks about life in Christ and what that means in kind of almost a theoretical sense. But now in chapter 3, in today's passage, it starts and it says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ," and it goes on like that. Kind of it's saying, okay, you heard all this stuff, now here's what you need to do. On your outline there, it says, therefore, you know, because of this, therefore, do this. And as I was thinking about that, I was remembering an old preacher from years ago, and you've heard this kind of thing, I'm sure, at some point. He said, when you hear the word therefore, ask yourself, what is it there for? Okay, and so we need to see what it's there for. And we find often in Paul's letters, what he does is he spends kind of the first half talking, here's all these things that you need to know, and then he says, okay, therefore, because of what you learned, this is what it means in your life. And the last half is much more practical. And we find the same thing happening here in Colossians 3. So let me read. We're going to go up to verse 17 today, and then we'll continue on from there next week. So Colossians 3, reading at verse 1, and I'm reading from the NIV. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we're going to spend some time and think about not just what we're not supposed to be doing, but what we are. As we live in Christ. And as I was dwelling on this the other day, I was thinking about a time years ago hiking in the wilderness in the Nordegg area. And it's not like, you know, walking up the switchbacks at Tunnel Mountain in Banff, which is really just going for a walk. But this is real camping, right? When you go to Nordegg and you're out in the middle of the wilderness and, you know, you're men. So we were camping, and straight up the side of the mountain you go, or so it seems, right? But of course, you get waylaid by a valley here and a crevice there and a thick stand of lumber or stuff that's falling. And the track to the top doesn't end up being quite so straight as you thought it might have been. I couldn't say for sure how much, but it was probably pretty crooked. Anyways, we got to the top. And then we were up there and able to look down to where we were headed next. And you could see in a distance, here's another hill. And so as we're going down, you can keep your eye on it and see where you're going. And it was a much straighter trek down than it had been coming up. We set our bearings on that hill. And then as we headed down the other side, we were able to get there much more directly than we were before. Now, I was thinking about that and how it's the same in Christianity in many respects. There's an expression in the first couple of verses here in Colossians 3. And in Hebrew literature, repetition is the way they would get it, that you would catch something. They'd say something over and over again. And so in verse 1, he says, set your hearts on things above. And then in verse 2, set your mind on things above. And so we get the idea from this, we're supposed to be oriented on things above, okay? Now, part of the heresy that was happening in Colossae and why this letter was written way back when is that there were some Judaizers, as they were called, people who said the way to spiritual wholeness is to follow this set of prescribed steps, and then you will be all that you can be. In chapter 2, in verse 16, he says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These were all things that they were saying, you need to do this exactly this way. But Paul is saying, no, that isn't the way it is. We need to be living with Christ, in Christ, and that is what makes all the difference in the world. And so that's the whole point of what he's talking about here in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 3. When we set our hearts, we set our minds on things above, or in the words of Hebrews 12, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, then we don't end up going off on different rabbit trails all the way as we're headed to Christian maturity. We have this more direct route, and with these things are out of the way as we head to where God wants us to be. Just like in the wilderness, you get there better if you head straight. The next verses talk about our going as we're going along the way. So think back to Nordegg for a minute. And I was trying to remember if it was early spring or late fall when I was thinking about this the other day, but I couldn't remember for sure. Anyways, there wasn't snow on the ground, but it was cold. It was very cold. I remember that. And when you're outside for a couple of days without a break and it's cold out, well, you have to make sure that you're dressed appropriately, right? Because if you don't, then you're sorry afterwards. So I had long johns on, you know, and good hiking boots and an outer layer that was wind and waterproof, and then a warm coat as well. And I was ready, but a couple of the people who were with me that when we were doing this were not ready. And so pretty much this whole, we were 3 or 4 days, they were whining the whole time about being cold. And I thought, it's not my fault. I'm warm. Next time you'll be prepared. You have to clothe yourself appropriately. Well, here in Colossians 3, he talks about that same thing. Let me read verses 12 to 14 again. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and all these things that it talks about there. Now, this list of Christian virtues is something that we can all aspire to. We'd all wish, I wish that was describing me, right? But when you read it in totality, it seems it's way out there, it's way beyond us, and not a place that we're ever going to be able to get to, right? But in the morning, when you get dressed, you don't put all your clothes on at once. You put on one thing, and then you put on another, and so on. And you get dressed. Well, the same thing here. We need to clothe ourselves with these one at a time. And so let's just look at them one at a time for a few minutes here. So the first one talks about compassion. Clothe yourselves with compassion. Now, this is a deep sensitivity, an understanding, sympathy that affects one's innermost being, even a sensitivity to the needs and the sorrows of others around us. Because there are people in all of our lives that have hurts. In fact, almost all of us have something like that, right? And we don't have to look far to see that. But for the most part, those kind of things can't be met by the church as a whole. They are met by individuals who are part of the church. And that's how we meet the needs of people, as we clothe ourselves with compassion. As Christ's compassion flows through us to those around us, then as we're looking at them as he would, as we're feeling for them as he would, as we're reaching out for them as he would, then that's the kind of compassion that we need to have. On your outline, I have a verse or two with each one of these different virtues, and there's way more that we could look at for sure, but as we think of compassion, turn to Isaiah just for a moment. Isaiah 49 and verse 10. And it's just one verse, so you can just listen to it as well. Here's what it says. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them, lead them beside springs of water. That's what, when you have compassion for somebody, when God's compassion is flowing through you, that's what it's like to somebody. It's like springs of water to somebody who is thirsty. And so we need to have compassion. The next one in Colossians 3, it says, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness. And kindness is compassion in action, when something is happening. Doing something for that person that you're feeling compassion for, right? It isn't something that they have merited at all. When we're being kind to someone, it isn't because they're deserving it. And so in a sense, that's maybe the closest that we can get to having grace, like God does. A few years ago, you may remember what was almost a fad, the random acts of kindness, you know, the thing that happened, where people would just go out and do nice things for people. Well, true kindness is much more than that, because it's not random at all. It's very specific. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? Kindness is very specifically has somebody in mind. And so we need to clothe ourselves with compassion. Acts 28 and verse 2 is one example of that we find here. And this is in the middle of, right after a shipwreck that Paul was a part of. And it says, "The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. They gave us what we really needed at that time." You know, and that's just, we could find all kinds of examples of that kind of thing. Back to Colossians 3, humility is the next virtue that we are to put on, to clothe ourselves with. Now, you know, naturally we tend to exalt ourselves, right? And that started at the Garden of Eden, you know, where Adam and Eve said to God, "I can do this by myself. Thank you very much. I don't need you." And we've kept doing that same thing ever since, right? And because of that, have come to believe it, that that's where we're at. But when we humble ourselves, when we clothe ourselves with humility, we stop doing that kind of thing, and we think of ourselves rightly. We don't think of ourselves too highly, and at the same time, we don't think of ourselves too lowly, but we think of ourselves rightly, as God sees us all and loves every one of us. In Philippians chapter 2, we find verses that talk about the ultimate example of humility, right? Of Jesus' humility. In Philippians 2 and verse 3, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." Now, in God's eyes, of course, he loves us all. So it's not that they are better, but it says consider them better than yourself. And think of somebody and treat somebody that way. So we need to clothe ourselves with humility as well. And then in Colossians 3, then it says, so compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. Gentleness is being considerate of another person. In the same manner that kindness is like God's grace, gentleness is kind of like God's mercy, in a sense. We don't give someone what they deserve when we treat them gently, right? We have their best in view. Turn back to Ephesians 4, and there's a verse there that talks about this. Ephesians 4 and verse 32, and it says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." We need to be tender-hearted to those around us. Patience is the next virtue that we see talked about in Colossians chapter 3, and one of about half of this list that we would also find in Galatians 5 when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which again shows us that these are evidences of the Spirit within, of Christ living through us. Now, patience is something that pretty much I could say we all lack. Maybe we have some, but we don't have as much as we need to, right? Because we want what we want, and we want it yesterday, right? That's kind of the way that we are. Be that in results when you go to the store, or even in the lives of people around us. I want you to change now. Now, anyone who has raised children, which is most of you, knows it doesn't work that way. And so we need to be patient when we're working with people and seeing that God has to act in them. In Galatians 6 and 9, again, just back a few books, it says there, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Do not become weary. Be patient. Just keep doing it. Just keep at it. The next one is, it says, "Bear with each other," or forbearance. This is taking patience kind of another step. When someone else affronts us in whatever manner, our natural reaction is to defend ourselves, right? And you got to stand and say, what are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about, right? And so we lash out against them. But when we are forbearing, we withhold that, right? And even though it may mean that we look worse in the end, even though it may affect us negatively, we bear with them. In 1 Peter, there's a verse that says, 1 Peter 2, and verse 23, we read there, this is talking about Jesus, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So Jesus was forbearing, and we as well need to be that and trust ourselves to him. Forgiveness is the next thing that it talks about in Colossians 3. And this means not only being compassionate and kind and patient and forbearing, but it means we may have to endure grief and even provoking from those around us, but we also need to forgive them. And they might not even ask for that, but that doesn't mean that we don't do it. We still need to be, we're called to forgive. Again, I read earlier from Ephesians 4:32, but as I was thinking that this verse speaks to this as well. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That's how we are to be forgiving. But that's not always easy to do, right? In fact, it's usually pretty difficult, and it requires the last of these virtues from Colossians chapter 3. Over all these virtues, put on love, it says. Over all these virtues, put on love. In a couple of weeks, Tara Lee and Corey are getting married. And so, you know, I've been starting to get ready for that. And of course, when you're doing that, you always turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Let me read the familiar verses to you there. Reading at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is what ties the rest of these other ones together. As Christ's love flows through us, then we're going to be able to be all of these other ones that we read about. Not in the strength of our love, because we don't have enough, but as Jesus loves through us. Okay, we need to go back to Nordegg one more time. I don't know how many of you have ever gone winter camping. And like I said, I don't know if that one was winter or not, but I have other times gone winter camping, right? And when you go winter camping, well, first, like I said, you have to make sure that you have the right clothing on so that you stay nice and warm, or as warm as you can anyways. But besides that, the other activity that you do that when you are winter camping to try to keep you warm is you eat, okay? And you eat, and you eat, and you eat, okay? And your body metabolizes and produces energy, and that helps you keep a little bit warmer, right? And what else is there to do anyways when you're out winter camping, okay? So you do that a lot. So at Nordegg, when we weren't hiking to keep warm, we were eating to keep warm, right? And as we seek to move towards spiritual completeness, what do we need to be eating? Well, verse 16 here in Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. God's word needs to be our spiritual diet. And we need to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We need to be in here often, systematically, enriching and filling our real need, which is to know Christ. And this is the primary way that he reveals himself to us, right? So as we read, as he speaks to our heart, and we find our needs met, our spiritual hunger is satiated as we feed on him in here, in his word. It does so much more than just keep us warm. It helps lead us towards spiritual completeness. One more verse 17. We read there, whatever you do, whether you're in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When you're hiking in the cold weather, besides going straight, you know, so you don't get lost, or besides making sure that you're dressed warmly and eating enough, to keep from getting cold, you need to be sure that you do all that you can do to keep wood on the fire at all times, right? That's the other thing that you do. And you need that, and you can huddle close to it. It'll keep you warm, and it keeps your water warm for dishes and for hot chocolate and so on. So all you do in the name of keeping warm. Well, in verse 17, all we do, we're to do in the name of the Lord. So with our hearts and minds on things above, clothed with compassion and kindness, humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance, forgiveness and love, being in the Word, we do all with him in mind. And with him as Lord, as so much of Colossians is talking about. Then we'll be moving in the direction that we need and want to be living as a Christian. We'll continue on next week, looking at the last half of this chapter that helps us to understand this whole thing a little more. Let's just look to God in prayer. Father, we are so grateful today to be able to be here because of what Jesus did for us. And so I pray that you'd help each one of us in our lives remember that that didn't just happen 2,000 years ago, but that you're still with us now. So help us not to forget that as we go through our life and we're seeking to live, help us to be people who are letting you live through us in all of these different ways, which will make all the difference to the people around us at the same time as helping us to grow closer and closer to you as we seek to live for you. So we thank you again. Thank you for this time together and for these folks coming here today. Pray that they will continue to hear from you as they go through their week. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So, music team.